Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15. I'd like to start reading in verse number 8 this morning. The Bible said, "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, seek diligently till she find it. If she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I'd lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." You may be seated this morning. We're staying with this thought of Luke 15 on the lost and found. You'll find that last week we covered the lost sheep in the hollow. We've seen the getting of his sheep. Aren't you glad that you know the shepherd this morning? He gets all his sheep. He loses none. He's not in the goat business, by the way. He's in the sheep business. We find him getting his sheep. We find him guiding his sheep. Boy, don't he know where right to take you to. We find him grazing his sheep. Can he feed you well? Find him guarding his sheep. There's none that will ever get them out of his hand. We're in good hands this morning. Then the gathering of his sheep. Said, boy, he left the 99 and went after that which was lost. That's the sheep in the hollow. But now this morning, I'm going to preach on this thought, the silver in the house. The lost silver in the house. I want you to notice in reading of verse number 8, the report of the silver. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, the report of the silver. Notice, if you would, the condition of the report. The condition of the silver, it was lost due to a fall. I want to remind you this morning over in the book of Romans, chapter number 5, and verse number 12 has something to do with the condition of me and you as lost silver. Said, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, but all have sinned. Now, isn't it amazing that when God created Adam, He created Adam for all eternity. He created him to live forever. But when Adam gave over to the temptation of his wife, through the subtlety of the devil, when Adam sinned, he was plunged in a total depravity. Therefore, the Bible says, for by one man's sin entered into the world. You've got all these briars, and you've got all this sweat, and all this labor, and all this childbearing. You can blame it on one person, Adam. I can tell you why your old bodies are hurting and aching this morning. Because Adam. We all headed to the cemetery. Thank God for those that are born again by the grace of God. That's not the end of the story. There's going to be a getting up day. This old body is going to be raised up and going to get a glorified body. Our soul and spirit will be with Jesus. We're to be absent with the body, to be present with the Lord. There's no soul sleep. There's no purgatory. When you die, at that instant, your soul goes out to meet God. If you're saved, you go to heaven. If you're lost, you're dying, go to hell. This morning, the report of the silver, you'll see its condition. It was lost due to a fall. The Bible said, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. even over them that had not sinned at the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. By one man, we became sinners. And by one man, we become saints. The Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the Bible, if you've got a King James Bible, I hope that's all you have, it says, by one man. It's not the Baptist church that's going to get you to glory. It's not some preacher going to get you to glory. But the one man, Christ Jesus, when He died on an old rugged cross, that me and you could go free. I love Him, don't you? He done something for me that nobody else could do. Got me ready for heaven. This morning, lost silver in the house, the report of this silver. You'll find its condition. It was lost due to a fall. And I want to remind you, that's why we've all got to be saved. We've been plunged in a total depravity. You don't have to teach your children to lie. It comes naturally. You don't have to teach your children to kick and throw a fit. That's why you got to beat that stuff out of them. It comes real natural. Why? Because they've got that old sin nature of Adam. That's why me and you can't go through this life in sinless perfection according to the flesh. Because we got this old nature, Adam. And so we see the condition of the silver. It was lost due to a fall. Secondly, not only the condition of the silver, but the concealment of the silver. It was hiding in the mire. Boy, she'd... Now, in this setting of the eastern country, in Jesus' day, they didn't have glasses like you and I have. They didn't have windows in houses. They would have a house with maybe some type of little hole in the side. They would have a door, and that door would give them all the light. Of course, they had all dirt floors in that day. They didn't know what carpet was in those days. Boy, aren't we a very spoiled people? But certainly this silver, you'll find that the concealment of this silver, it was lost in the dirt and the mire. I'll even remind you that in the Eastern customs, it was customary at times that animals would come in the house. I've seen that in South America where hogs and dogs have the run of the house. And that's a realization that really happens. The doors never close. They have free reign of the house. And of course, it don't take much imagination to realize the filth that would become in that house. I want to remind you this morning that when we were concealed, we were lost in a world of sin, in a dirt pile, in a cesspool of our sin. There's none good, no, not one. The Bible said that we're all as a filthy rag. You say, preacher, I'm a pretty good person. Yeah, you're good enough to die and go to hell. That's only good in you. That's why we need Jesus Christ this morning to change us. We see the report of the silver, its condition, its concealment. It was hiding in the mire. Then thirdly, I don't know if you've ever thought much about this piece of silver or not, but the contentment of the silver. You see, it was content right there on the floor. It had no consciousness of being sought after or lost. Isn't that amazing that as the silver was in her hands as she had lost that piece of silver, now it was lying in total depravity in the dirt of the floor, and it had no consciousness. It was fine just where it was. That's why you wonder why people won't come to church. See, they're fine just where they are. Some of you wives, you wonder, well, why won't my husband come to church with me? Why won't he tithe? Why don't he love God? Because it's not natural. You see, the consciousness of this silver, it was totally satisfied in the dirt. Brother David said something this morning I can relate to. Said years ago, he was on the creek bank. Why? Because he really didn't care. But when Jesus comes by, He changes that nature. Oh, that's why this morning a world of sinners is satisfied where they are. I've often wondered, Brother Philip, why people would go and buy car insurance. That car is going to burn up and blow away one of these days, but they won't get the most important insurance upon them. Soul insurance. Why would you come to church this morning? I know the choir sings nice. I know we have a pretty building, but really that's not why most of you are here. You're here because God reached and got you out of a miry clay. And this old silver, it just laid there. The consciousness of it, it was very satisfied where it was laying. I was too. I was satisfied in the pool rooms and the clubs and the places that I ought not have been at. Why? Because I was lost. And you see people that's even on your church roll this morning. You know why are they out there in a hell-burning world? Their nature's never been changed. They're fine just where they are. You see, you take a little pig. I was raised in the country. It don't take you long to figure that out. But you can go out to the hog pen, Brother Randall, and you'll see, you know, they always love to have a wallow. Boy, them old mama sows, they can go to squealing. Them little pigs will come running. They'll all get in them mud holes. You know, I've seen little pigs down at the county fair at the 4-H Club. They'd take and they'd wash that little pig, and they'd comb that little pig, put a pretty little ribbon on that pig's tail, and then all of a sudden they turn him loose to mama, and guess where that little pig goes? Right back into the miry clay. I want to remind you this morning, friend, that the reason that the hogs wall in the hog pen, because they're hogs. Boy, this silver was totally satisfied where it was laid. I used to hate Sunday morning. You know why? Because my wife was going to rag me to get up and go to church. I didn't like church. I was raised in a family that took me to church every time the door was open. It was dead. It was stifled. It was nothing going on. My biggest problem was I was lost. I'd been baptized, but my life had never changed. And I was totally satisfied right where I was in the mire. So we see the consciousness of the silver. It was totally satisfied, lying right where it was. The contentment of the silver. It was very content on the floor. Had no consciousness of really where it was. I thought I was doing pretty good. I had a pretty good job. I was getting the bills paid. Had hunting, fishing money. Car running. But I didn't realize where I was because I was content in the mire. Lost silver in the house, the report of the silver. You'll see its condition, its concealment, and its contentment. But thank God there's something else about the report of this silver. There was some concern about it. It was sought by the owner personally. I don't see no place in the three verses of this short little text I read this morning where any of the neighbors came in and opened up the house. Why? They weren't concerned. It wasn't their silver. See, sheep belong to the shepherd. Silver belonged to the owner. Y'all hang on. We're going somewhere. The neighbors weren't concerned about that silver. Why? Never was theirs. Never was the concern of silver. Oh, thank Him. He had some concern for me. Oh, yeah, the report of the silver, it's lost. I don't see that silver crying out saying, oh, I'm lost. No, it's laying there. Just the way every one of us was before we got saved. It's content just laying there being silver. But there's something that changes in this story. We'll see the concern of the silver. It was sought by the owner personally. I'm going to remind you when Jesus came to an old rugged cross. He came with menu on His mind. He came looking for that which was lost. Thank God I got lost. The report of the silver. But then secondly, the recovery of the silver. gold. What about this? Notice the burden for the silver. The Bible said, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. I remind you, the recovery of this silver, it was lost in the house. You'll see her a burden. Why does she have a burden? Because she knew the longer that it stayed lost, the less likely she could find it. Boy, isn't it amazing the statistics of how old when people get saved of what they are? Did you know that the Southern Baptist Convention, and I'm not Southern Baptist, but they've got some pretty good statistics, said that, it's only 1 out of 10,000 people once they reach 25 years old get saved. When a person reaches 35, 1 out of 50,000 get saved. When a man reaches 45 years old, it's 1 out of 200,000 people. When a person reaches 60, there's 1 out of 400,000 get saved. When a person reaches 75 years old, the statistics, they double. They go to 1 out of 700,000 people get saved. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the burden in the recovery. The longer it's lost, the less likely it is to be found. I tell you, Mom and Daddies, I'm going to encourage you this morning to raise your children in a Bible-believing church where there's something going on in the house. Now, I'm going to remind you on the recovery of this silver. First of all, it was a burden. It was lost, but it was never forgotten. Can any of you go back to the time when the Lord saved you and look and realize how He had protected you to the day that you got saved? You didn't get saved by accident. It was divine plan. You didn't find the Lord. He found you. And you wonder why I get so tore up and excited. He could have left me in that little old Church of Christ church in Middle Tennessee and been baptized in my little name on a roll, but nothing ever happened to me. He's done something for me, folks. He found me. The recovery of this silver. You'll see the burden. Oh, can I bring your attention that this morning here's a great picture of the church. You'll see that all this started at the house. Lost in the house. The burden. Oh, this church needs a burden for the lost. Well, she got burden. She got to looking. She got to looking for what was hers. Oh, how our church needs a burden for the lost and undone without Christ. I had an uncle this week. As far as I know, he's never made a profession of faith. He came, I got thinking, you know, here's a man used to come and pick me up that I'd have idolized. I mean, he'd come down to my grandmama's house and pick me up and take me hunting. I remember a little boy, I'd go out on the porch and I'd look way down that road and I could see his car coming around the curve. And boy, my Saturday's picked up. But I got thinking, Lord, he's not saved. Oh, I wish this morning that we could get a burden the way this lady did for that was lost. You see this morning, not only the report of this silver, but the recovery of this silver. She had a burden. But secondly, notice her business. She got busy. What did this lady do? Well, the Bible says that she lit a candle and went to sweeping. You see, sweeping diligently. She said, seek diligently till she find it. The recovery of herself, her burden, her busyness, and then secondly, the bustle. Have you ever been in a house where dirt's being swept? I mean, really? Have you ever seen anybody really get on a broom and know what a broom is for? And they start sweeping the house. You know what happens? They start getting everybody's eyes, starts getting in their throat. I mean, and when that light goes to pour in, you'll see all of that dirt. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the bustle. Oh, I mean, she got real. She's turning stuff upside down. What's she doing? She's hunting that which was lost. Oh me, how the Lord, many times as He comes in, the Bible says she lit a candle. What is that? Well, I want to tell you this morning, it's a great illustration of the church being at the house. Secondly, the light, as the man of God gets up and shares the Word of God, it's light, isn't it? And then I tell you what the Holy Ghost starts doing. He starts sweeping the house. Oh, you see, when God lights the candle with His Word and gives us light, He said He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. That light has got to be lit. Thank God I got in a Bible-believing church where there was some light being preached. He said, come into the light while you have light, lest darkness suddenly find you. Oh, she lit a light and went to sweeping. Yeah, she got busy. Boy, when the Holy Ghost goes to sweeping, He'll turn stuff upside down sometimes. I mean, you'll notice critters will go to running. Boy, I tell you what, it goes to rearranging the pews. Isn't that amazing? That's what some good Baptist churches need, and a good Holy Ghost sweeping. Matter of fact, if the Holy Ghost lit down in the average Baptist church this morning, they'd fly out like a covey of birds. Boy, he gets that broom, he starts knocking and sweeping. I mean, he's looking for something. Oh, it was lost. It was his. The recovery of the silver. The burden. Her business. Boy, she got to seeking. Boy, she was looking. She said, now I was here. I had this silver. I had that silver. Sweeping, I've lit my candle. There ain't much light in the house, but I've lit. I found it. What is this? Oh my! Not now the blessing. You see. Report of the silver. The recovery of the silver. But now, I want you to look at the reflection of the silver. Well, silver is precious. Notice the ingredient of the silver. It sounds different than a quarter. The ingredient. The silver. Yeah. It sounds different. Ingredient. Reflection of silver, the ingredient. But then secondly, the imprint on the silver. What does this show? Why? It has the image of the King. What? Yeah, now I know why she was looking so hard for it. It's got the an image imprinted on it. Well, that's an image of the King. Preacher, what you talking about? Well, you see, in the Bible times, that every piece of silver was stamped. It was stamped with the impression of the King. The image of the King. I was reading over in my Bible and just happened to run up on a verse. At Romans 8 and verse number 29, this is what it said. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the... What? The image of His Son. He might be the firstborn among many brethren. The imprint of the silver. I want to remind you that when He found me and you, we were stamped out. With an imprint of His darling Son. Did you know that His goal for mine and you this morning is to reflect the image of the King? Well, when people see me and you as a lost piece of silver, and they look at us, and not only do they see the great ingredient of silver, but they see an image. And then Not only do they see an image, but it's something else about this old dirty piece of silver. Now you watch. And the owner starts rubbing on it. You'll notice what happens with this silver. Oh, there's some dirt right there. Oh, there's some dirt here on the edge. We better rub it here a little bit. We better rub. What's happening? This thing's starting to illuminate. Now, I read over in the book of Matthew where it said, you should shine your light among men. Boy, look what's happening when you start rubbing that silver. Start shining. Boy, when the Holy Ghost gets us up out of that dirt, that thing don't look like much as a bunch of old dirt on it. He'll start rubbing on it. Start shining on it. Before long, you're just shining like that piece of silver. What are you saying, Brother Kid? I'm saying we're to have the image of His darling Son stamped on us. When somebody sees you, you ought to be favoring your daddy. Somebody said yesterday at the wedding, said, they come in from Tennessee, but they said, you look just like your daddy. I want to remind you, the day I got saved, I started looking like my heavenly Father. And the recovery of this silver, He's reached down, and oh, you'll notice that how that it illuminates as He shines. He ever shined on you? Well, some of that is sort of hard to get off. It had to rub a little harder. Boy, aren't you glad God reached down to where you was and got out His heavenly cloth. Wanted to polish it on you. Oh, I couldn't get rid of all them cigarettes overnight. I couldn't get rid of all that dirty talk overnight. Couldn't get rid of all them old habits I had. What's happened, preacher? He's been shining on me now about 20 years. Oh, yeah, it ain't near as dirty as it used to be. Boy, brother, there you go to shining that wonderful piece of silver. Boy, you start seeing how pretty that piece of silver is. Oh, it didn't look too good with all that dirt. All that mire. Brother Dennis, your coin name. Boy, that owner start shining. Look at that silver. It start illuminating. Boy, you start getting that thing up in the sun. It'll start reflecting. And it'll start shining. Hey, but you know, the Holy Ghost gave me a thought about this over my study, and I like to jump plumb out over my fence. Why did she find that silver? Why did she find this silver? I'm talking about not now the report, but now the recovery. You'll see that its ingredient is it's very precious metal. Its imprint, it has the impression of the King. The illumination, or it shines when it's polished. But now the importance of the silver. Why did she find it? Listen to me, listen, don't miss this. Why did she find it? So she could spend it. Are you being spent this morning? I got to thinking. I thank you men for letting God spend you. I thank you ladies that you're so faithful to play. You're letting God spend you. She didn't find this thing to put it up in the dresser drawer. No. No, no. She found it because it's so important. I bet she probably needed to spend it. Sherry, would you come? I want to ask you something this morning. I thank the Lord so much that I'm at a place where people allow Him to spend them. Some of you give your lives for the cause of Christ. Thank you. Some of you are choice soldiers for Christ. Thank you. I wonder this morning, he's still polishing on you? There's a little piece there in the end. There's a little there on the edge. It's got a dent in it. I wonder how we can fix that. He'll bring you over to church service. It's so dusty and dirty. Choir go to sing and he'll pull out his polishing wheel. He'll go rubbing. He's rubbed on some of you now at the funeral home. I got to get you there. And this light to polish you. Got some of you down in the hospital. Some of you down at your job. He had to get you over there. Get you in that light. Why? So you can shine. You'll shine the brightest when it's the darkest. You know, that old piece of silver was fine just laying where it was. Completely happy laying right where it was. But I'm so glad that the Lord put me under a man that opened the Bible and shined that light, and the Holy Ghost began to sweep over my life. And boy, I'll never forget the day when he reached down. And got me out of the mire. Oh, yeah, and he's rubbing on me. Oh, yeah, he's polishing me up. Sometimes he polishes me with tears. But he's getting me together so he can take and put me down on that heavenly counter. Spin me. This morning is your life being spent for Jesus. Has he ever took and run his hand into your life before you was and got you out of that mire? That's the recovery of the silver. But the rejoicing of the silver. She got it. Church, you know what she done? She went over to the door of that little house. She opened that door up and said, "Hey, guess what? A pound of silver." The Bible said there's even angels are rejoicing. I don't know if you realize this, but I think I got Bible. There's angels looking into your service today. Here they've looked in. Preacher, you own too much medicine now. Now there's been angels here this morning. I felt them flutter. They're looking in on the service. This morning, you wonder why stuff's going on. He's polishing you. Getting you cleaned up. I don't talk like I used to talk, thank God. But Mike, I can't go where I used to go and do what I used to do. But now I can do what she's doing, I can rejoice. But David, what's your number this morning? Number 164, stand with me, church. I want to ask you something. Is he spending you? Can you be spent? Maybe He's lit a candle and started sweeping over you. You realize you're lost and want to be saved. He'll save you this morning.